of our blessings, in light of our identity with Christ, in light of the power of the Spirit of God available to us, and we present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, and this is well-pleasing to God. And we allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God to transform our thinking so that His acceptable will can be worked out in our lives. Now, the third thing we underscored so that we made sure we understand this isn't a crank out and it's not a pump out, it's an overflow, is number three, requires God working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now we'll conclude this series tonight by just briefly highlighting the manner of pleasing the Lord. And it includes such things as, number one, the diligent study and handling accurately the Word of God. Diligently, it should say diligently, let me just correct this here for a minute. It includes just diligent study and handling accurately the Word of truth. Now you're familiar with this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself, and here's the concept, approved to God. Now the word approved is the Greek word dokimos. It means to take a test and to pass. And that's what you're going to be doing tonight. And the judgment seat of Christ is the deadline. Actually, the end of your life is the deadline. And it will be at the judgment seat of Christ, where you either will be approved or not. You will have pleased Him or not. You will have passed the test or not. And as I've said before, without deadlines and tests, we don't get very far in life. I would never preach as much as I do unless I had a deadline. If you did not have tests, you would never study as much and be as prepared as you are tonight, if you are. That was a first-class condition. I assume the reality. If it wasn't for the test. So be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. That's the opposite of approved. Rightly dividing, handling accurately the Word of God. And you see, your gifts training is designed for you not only to be doctrinally established, but to, in an increasing way, know how to handle accurately and then communicate clearly the Word of God. A second manner of pleasing the Lord includes doctrinal separation from false teachers. And this is kind of the flip side to verse 15. This is almost never taught in our day, and yet medical personnel know the importance of protection from deadly germs. They know the need to wash hands. They know the need to be sanitized. They know the need of those kind of things. And yet in the spiritual realm, the need is also there. For 2 Timothy 2:16 and 17 then says, but shun profane and idle babblings, Paul's idiom for false teaching, for they will increase to more ungodliness, they being the false teachings, and their word will spread like cancer. And again, the Greek word here is really the word for gangrene. He names the teachers, Hymenaeus and Philetus, are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. That's the standard. The Word of God. Now, this was not the gospel they strayed from. They were saying that the resurrection, future resurrection, is past already. That's false teaching. And the result is they overthrow the faith of some. And you can't overthrow something that doesn't exist, which means they had an impact on believers because believers failed to shun and separate from them. And that is why it is imperative that you are willing to not only diligently study and handle accurately the Word of God, but shun false teaching as well. Because this can happen to you. You must exercise doctrinal discernment, and separation is needed. Because again, your main objective is to please the Lord. A third element in the manner of pleasing the Lord involves a pure message, methods, motives, and manner. A pure message, methods, motives, and manner. In other words, your message needs to be biblical. Your methods need to be honest. Your motives need to be pure. And your manner needs to be out of love. And that's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God." Notice, to speak to you the gospel of God, right message, in much conflict. "For our exhortation of this very message did not come from error or uncleanness." It was a pure message. "Nor was it in deceit." We didn't try to slip a Mickey in there. "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel," the right message again, "so we speak what? The gospel. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." And so, in giving out the gospel, they wanted to please the Lord. This is what God had called them to do. But notice their methods. "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know. Instead, they spoke the truth in love." Now notice his motives. "Nor a cloak of covetousness." They didn't use it to take advantage of people. God is a witness. And why does he appeal to God as a witness? Because they can't see your heart, but God can. "Nor did we seek glory from men." And these are two wrong motives that people at times exercise in ministry. One, covetousness, and number two, they want glory from men. "Neither you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." Now notice his manner. "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." Notice, his method was biblical, his methods were honest, his motives were pure, and his manner was gentle, he was loving, he was caring, just like a nursing mother cherishes his own children. And you see, this pleases the Lord. And God does test our hearts here about these things. You see, he not only sees the words, he not only sees what we're doing, but he sees why we're doing what we're doing. And all of that needs to please him. A fourth element involved in the manner of pleasing the Lord includes personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice to support ministry. Personal sacrifice to support ministry. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you," now watch this, "a sweet-smelling aroma, and," here it is, "acceptable sacrifice," here it is, "well-pleasing to God." But notice, it was a sacrifice, not only in the sense of a believer priest, but in the sense that, if you know, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, that these Macedonians gave very generously. They gave sacrificially. They gave voluntarily. They wanted to support the ministry of the Word of God. And by the way, when it comes to personal sacrifice, doesn't everything that is worthwhile require personal sacrifice? Now just think, tonight there is going to be the college football, what do you call it, the final game, national championship, there you go. You think the players in Alabama and Clemson have had any personal sacrifices? I think their coaches have made a lot of personal sacrifices. I think their wives have made some sacrifices. They've made sacrifices, you know why? Because they think that goal is worth it. And I think we have something better. I think we have something far more important. I think we have something eternal. I think whatever sacrifice we make down here, in some ways, doesn't begin to compare with not only the sacrifice of our Lord, but the worthwhile of the objective. But again, anything that's worthwhile is going to involve personal sacrifice. And when we're involved in making personal sacrifice, you know what? God's pleased. He's pleased with that. See, our society knows little bit about commitment. They know a lot about convenience. They know little about sacrifice and the spirit of sacrifice. And you need to be willing to sacrifice to further the word of God as well. You know, Paul said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And you know, at the graduation this Saturday, you're going to see teachers who have made a lot of sacrifices. You're going to see 10 students graduating that made a lot of sacrifices. You're going to see spouses that have made a lot of sacrifices. I trust it won't be in vain. I trust that they've done it as unto the Lord. I trust that it'll be worthwhile both in time and in eternity. I trust that it will have pleased the Lord. Because, you know, the bottom line isn't a degree. It's not a pat on the back. It's not a congratulations. Because all of that can go up in smoke. It's really hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I can tell you this, it's been worthwhile. And I'm thankful to be part of it, and I'd do it again. In fact, I'm excited with the next Gibbs class starting next Monday night. I mean, Lord willing, we're going to have at least, I think, 22, 23 students that are going to still be in Gibbs in phase one or phase two. And I don't have a plan for their lives. I just want them to be faithful to the Lord. I want them to fulfill His plan for their life. I want them to be faithful in whatever ministry God wants to use them in. But I'd love to just keep seeing the Word of God further in whatever ways the Lord sees fit. In ministry, you will be called on to personal sacrifice time and time again. Keep this in mind right here, how it pleases the Lord, and it will revolutionize your perspective. This leads us to the fifth element involved as far as the manner of pleasing the Lord includes serving Christ and exercising love towards others in areas of liberty. In areas of liberty. And you understand, by areas of liberty, we're talking about the fact that that which is not condemned and that which is not commanded in the Scriptures, that which is not illegal, as it were. And just because something is legal doesn't still mean it's the right thing to do. And that's why in Romans 14, when Paul is talking about this very area, he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, where in this areas of liberty, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. And if he can't do it with a pure conscience, then don't do it. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things, and in the context, these things are what? Areas of liberty, is acceptable to God and approved by men. God says, I'm really pleased when in your areas of liberty, you're not using them just to indulge your own flesh. You're using them to flex and serve me and minister to others and not stumble them. And you know, when it comes to ministry, there will be liberties that others might enjoy which you will need to let go for the sake of Christ or to not stumble others. And you need to do so out of love for Christ and love for them. In fact, you know, Paul does mention even in 1 Corinthians 9 how he had a right to marry and yet he chose not to. In that area of liberty, he thought he could better serve Christ and others by remaining single. And in fact, he encourages others in 1 Corinthians 7, if you can stay single and serve the Lord. If you can't, that's fine. It's not sin to marry. Go ahead and marry and then serve the Lord with your mate. But it is true, there are certain lack of distractions and responsibilities in the single life that you have in marriage. On the other hand, if you're gifted for marriage, getting on with marriage in some ways really helps you get on with life. And so you have to come to grips with God's plan for your life. And so we've seen diligent study and handling accurately the Word of God pleases the Lord. Doctrinal separation from false teachers pleases the Lord. A pure message, method, motives, and manner in ministry please the Lord. Personal sacrifice to support ministry pleases the Lord. Serving Christ and exercising love towards others in areas that pleases the Lord. Providing, again, we're responding to Him. It's wrought of the Spirit, and we're doing it as unto Him. Number six, the manner of pleasing the Lord also includes knowing God's will with the intent of a walk worthy of the Lord. Knowing God's will with the intent of a walk worthy of the Lord. And this is what Paul says in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And what is the objective of being filled with the knowledge of His will? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, here it is, fully pleasing Him. Not partially, but fully pleasing Him. So the purpose of knowing the will of God isn't so we can walk around knowing the will of God. It's so that it can impact our life in a way in which we walk. We conduct ourselves in a way that's honoring to the Lord. A way that pleases Him. It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake, but to do and obey God's will and walk worthy. And I say that because it's easy to get content with knowledge. Knowledge is important. Knowledge, though, alone puffs up. Love and knowledge builds up. Which leads us to our last element, the manner of pleasing the Lord, includes repeated praise to God and good works wrought by the Holy Spirit. Repeated praise to God and good works wrought by the Holy Spirit. And we touched on these verses in this series on worship that we just concluded at DBC here. But in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, it says, therefore, by Him, Jesus Christ, let us continually. And by continually doesn't mean every moment, but it means repeatedly. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So let me ask you today, have you praised the Lord at all? Has there been any doxologies in your life? Have you given Him thanks? Or have you just been occupied with what you're doing? You know, the key to the horizontal is always the vertical. Not that we, every moment, are conscious of the Lord or thinking of Him, but we're going through our day responding to Him as we do whatever we do is unto Him. Verse 16, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifice, here it is again, God is well pleased. God's well pleased when we're giving praise to Him. God is pleased when we're giving thanks to His name. God is pleased when we're doing good. God is pleased when we share what we have. God is pleased with these things. Not only the words, praise and giving thanks, but then the doing and the sharing as well. But again, the key to all of that is right here between your ears as you respond this way in your own personal walk. With the objective of what? Pleasing the Lord. And I say that because, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, there have been kids raised in Christian homes. They've gone on to colleges. They may have graduated summa cum laude. They may have become this, that, or the other thing. But frankly, and I'm not against any of that, but frankly, if in their life they're not pleasing the Lord, What does it ultimately matter? It's a waste, is what it is. And I don't want you to squander the opportunities the Lord has given to you. In your heart of hearts, you need to be thinking in terms of, Lord, in light of your grace, in light of who you are, in light of what you've done, in light of who I am now in Christ, and all the resources of your grace, I just want to glorify you. I want to please you. I want to live for Christ. I want my life to count. And through his power and through the word of God, and even being mindful of his will, this can happen in your life. Pretty incredible. But that's what grace is all about. Okay, our time is gone.